song that the choir just sang. Even in all of our problems and troubles and trials, the Lord has really been good to me. I really praise Him for this opportunity to come to His house this morning. Somebody in our class made a comment about being late. I saw this bumper sticker. I can't figure it out. It said, "This is the earliest I've ever been late for work." And so whoever come up with that must have been late all the time, just getting a little earlier start than usual. But it's a habit sometimes, and sometimes you're hindered. I don't know why, but Sister Rich will verify this many times. We're walking out the door, and that phone will ring. And you pick it up, and you think you're going to shake them loose, and sometimes you get a hold of some of those you can't shake loose. And so we're glad to be here today. And Miss Brother Steve Moore, I won't be able to preach up with his preaching, but we do appreciate Brother and Sister Moore. And I want to talk to you just a little bit this morning. I don't know. I'm not going to say what Brother Steve says. I'm not going to. Don't feel like I'll hold you long this morning. I don't know how long I'll hold you, but probably not very long. But our church right here, we have a wonderful church, and I'm going to be reading today from the book of 2 Kings chapter 5, and then I'm going to commend our church, and then I'm going to preach to our church. Amen? Amen. Chapter 5 of the book of 2 Kings. When you say it, when you have it, you can say amen. Brother Bruce did a good job teaching us today on thou shalt have no other gods before thee. It seems so strange in some of the countries I've been where people think that something they made with their own hands can hear their prayers and deliver them. It's been on me. Brother Moore's been over there where they have those little idols. And you wonder, how can people be so dumb to think that something they could carry around or make with their own hands could deliver them and help them? I'm glad we've got a God that's in heaven, and seated at His right hand this very day is Jesus Christ, our mediator. I appreciate Him. Fifth chapter of the book of 2 Kings, verse 1. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable. Because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria, he was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, "Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." And one went in and told his lord, saying, "Thus and thus said the maid that is of the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go to, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel." And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 pieces of gold, and 10 changes of raiment. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, "Now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of his leprosy." And in verse 17, after Naaman had went there and went through the prayers of that great man Elisha, Naaman was cleansed of his leprosy. And he said in part of this verse, the last part, he said, "For thy servant will henceforth offer burnt offerings nor sacrifices unto other gods, but unto the Lord." Backing up one verse, but he said, "As the Lord liveth before whom I stand, I will receive none." And he urged him to take it, but he refused. This great prophet refused gifts for doing what God had called him to do. Now I want to talk to our church just a little bit, and you can record this, make sure Brother Steve gets a copy of it in case he's wondering. But we have a wonderful church. I think we have a great church with wonderful people. I really do. And I think that we have a great pastor and his wife, Sister Gayla. This church is a praying church. This church is a caring church. This church, for most part, is a faithful church. And it's a clean living church. And a good church for dress standards. Once in a while, some of the younger ladies get a little skimpy, but I can say that. And they know who I'm talking about without me having to point anybody out. But most of us dress real good. And we are to be commended on our good points. But we are not a growing church. And God ordained that we should be a growing church. A body of believers that multiply through the power of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost outpouring when it came on the day of Pentecost. We know that Peter preached and 3,000 souls were added to the church that day. But that was not the end. The church went everywhere preaching the word and the Lord working with them with signs and wonders following them. And God began to multiply the church. And the Bible said the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Oh yes, much people were added to the church according to Acts 11:24. And Acts 5:10, believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes. And Acts 10, when Peter went down to the house of Cornelius, the Gentiles received the gospel and a whole household was added and a great group of people that very day. So I believe that we should be a growing church. I've been in this church a long time. I was here when we was out in the other church out there. And we should be growing more than what we're growing. So I want to tell you this today. God does not need us to help Him rule the universe. He can take care of the sun, moon, and stars without me and Brother Charles Moore. Oh, God can rule this universe without us. But there's one thing God will not do without us, and that's to win this world to Himself. That's why He called the church and said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we have a responsibility. Now in my text today, under the leadership of Naaman, the captain of the host of Syria, Israel was invaded by the Syrians. Syria had burned many of Israel's cities with fire. They had ravaged the people and have stolen Israel's goods and treasures. Excuse me. They also took as hostages many of the people of Israel and taken them back to Syria to be slaves, among whom was a little maid. The Bible does not give this maid's name, yet by her example, she became a heroine or a female hero. Oh yes, she was great because she was a link for God. Syria is a heathen nation. Syria needs a revelation. They need a witness about the true God of heaven. And Naaman, who was a leper, also needs healing. For he has a dreaded disease, leprosy. He was mighty, but diseased with leprosy. And there was no cure for leprosy. And God uses this little maid to be a link to Syria. Do you know what a link is? It is something that makes a connection between two or more objects. That's a link. Isn't it strange when God sends situations into our lives that we don't understand and we don't really like it? We respond in a negative way. We complain saying, "Why did God let this happen to me?" Well, did it ever occur to you that the sinful people you are around and the situations that you're in might just be God's plan to use you as a link to reach a lost soul? Has that ever occurred to you? Well, God placed this little maid right where He wanted her, in the house of Captain Naaman, as a servant to him and his wife. And some of us have been put in strange situations. But instead of letting God use us as a link, lots of times we sit around sucking our thumbs saying, "I don't know why God let all this happen to little old me. Why don't Jesus just come and take us out of here? This is such a wicked generation." Well, let me tell you something. The workplace you're in or the situations you're in, Brother Bruce, I know you've considered this because you brought it out in your class. Your situation could be a divine plan of God, that God might use you as a link to reach and to help somebody and make somebody realize their need of God. I want you to consider this little maid for just a moment. She's a slave. She's a Jew. Naaman is a Gentile. She's a captive to Captain Naaman. She has no help. She's lost her home. She's lost her family. She's lost her country. But she has not lost her God. Aren't you glad that the world can't take our God from us? She has no help there. She has no preacher, no Bible, no choir singing like we had here this morning. She is surrounded by heathens. And yet she becomes the means of Naaman's miracle. Who would have thought when this little maid was shackled and carried away to be a slave that she would be used by God Almighty to be a link for the Syrian nation and a heathen man and bring him to God himself. You know, we came by the Mormon church early this morning, right down the street from me, one of the biggest ones, I think, around the area. When we came by there, that parking lot was completely jam-packed and all around in the back. Jehovah's Witnesses had a pretty good crowd there. How do they do this? I'm not saying their doctrine is right, but I am telling you, coming up and down my street about every week, there are Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses getting out, trying to be a link for their church. I believe we could do more, don't you? Well, come on, help me here now. Oh, yes, this little maiden from Israel, the stage seems to be set against her. Yet she lives her life and gives her testimony to what she believes. She refused to lose her identity, and she refused to hold her peace about her God, even though she was in a strange land. She would not conform. She had no anger. Everything's all right here this morning, isn't it? Amen. All right, let us go right on. Listen, this little girl indicts me today. She indicts all of us in witnessing to the lost. Oh, even in a strange land, being a maid to Naaman's wife, she did not have a bad attitude. She kept her faith in the prophet Elisha down there in the foreign land. She's lost her mother, the security of her home, her father. No one looking over her shoulder, no teachers, no peers to see if she's doing things right. And yet, in a foreign country, when they need a witness, what she's been taught comes forth. Oh, as foremost, she says, I must testify. Oh, we must testify to a lost and dying world. We must become a link to a lost and dying world. Our conduct and our speech must not contradict the message we're trying to convey to a lost and dying world. I remember going on mission trips, have I been on many, and nobody wanted to go to the people I go to until we got churches established. Then others wanted to come. And a brother Nini told me, said, I don't know what we're going to do. Said, we got another mission group here. And said, you got here just in time. Said, they're wanting to use a church to sleep in while they do their mission work. And I said, we don't need them here. And I looked and the men were wearing short pants. And the girls was wearing short pants and clothes and everything. I said, no, we don't need them here. We don't need that kind of a link. We need a link that brings out the truth of God's holy word. Oh, yes. God wants us to stay committed. Now, Naaman had leprosy. He's dying. And Syria is a heathen nation. And he needs a healing. He needs knowledge of the true God of heaven. So God lets this little maid be carried away to a foreign land so she can witness to Naaman. I'm sure the name Naaman would not have occurred in the Holy Bible had it not been for this little maid. My Lord, we need to understand that God is expecting more out of us than what we're doing. Oh yes, when she saw Naaman had leprosy, she gave a testimony. And she said, oh, I would to God, or I wish to God, that my Lord, talking about Naaman, was with the prophet down there in the country of Israel, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Have you ever seen yourself as God's link? When opportunity came to witness, she had lived such a life that the people were ready to hear. She never complained. She was a prisoner of war. Oh yes, but she did her work cheerfully. Her attitude was right. Something more important than your ability, I'm sure, is your attitude. Think of the magnitude of this girl's testimony. She speaks with such positive faith to her captain. She convinced Naaman, if he'd get a letter and go down to the king down in Israel and tell of his situation, that this prophet could recover him of his leprosy. Now, what a testimony. Naaman gathers everything together, and he was convinced of what this little girl said just by her testimony. That's all. As he started down there, somebody might ask him, why are you going and where are you going down to a heathen nation? What you consider a heathen nation, an inferior nation, although they were the one that knew the true God. Why are you going down there to see a man you've never seen nor met? He said, because there's a little captive girl here, and she told me about a God that they have down in Israel and a prophet down there. Oh, hallelujah. And he could recover me of my leprosy. Hey, that's the way we win the world to Jesus. By our testimonies. None of us has ever been to heaven. None of us has ever seen Jesus Christ. But the Bible said this, 1 Peter 1:8, whom having not seen ye love, and though now we see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable. When people see that we're happy serving our God, they're going to want to serve our God too. Oh, God baptized me with the spirit of this little maiden. Oh, this little nameless maid was the cause of the greatest miracle that ever happened in Syria. She had set a light in a dark place. She was like a city set on a hill. And Naaman's healing and recovery happened when he went down and obeyed the man of God and went and dipped 7 times. And here's his testimony. He said, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. And then he said in verse 17 of this same chapter, 5th chapter of 2 Kings, he said, I'll not offer sacrifices to any other God. Oh, Sister Deborah gave a testimony Wednesday night, I believe, about someone made a remark about her singing. You know, people should understand that we serve the Lord. And I remember the first time I went to San Juan Picanee, I believe Brother Charles Moore was with me. We up there where Brother Moses lived. It was a shame to see what we seen in one sense. For here was all these people almost naked. All these women with bare bosoms everywhere you look. So it was. What we didn't understand, and when I showed some of those pictures to somebody, they did not understand that I was going to be the link to those people coming to the Lord. And I started preaching the gospel. And Brother Moses was there, unconverted, a very wicked man. And he heard I was going to be at another place down beside the road later on. Me and Leon were there preaching. And here comes Moses and his wife and his oldest son. And I preached on the Jesus, the Prince of Peace. And here come Moses out of the shadows, leading his wife and his oldest son, which is about 15 or 16. And he looked at me with big tears in his eyes and said, I don't have no peace. How do I get this peace? I don't have peace. I said, the only way you can have this peace, sir, is to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It was right there that Moses, his wife, and his son came to Jesus. Now, along that river, we have 6 churches. See, sometimes we don't understand what our job is. No, we did not approve of that kind of dress. We did not approve of that kind of contact. But God uses us to go into a wicked, dying, sinful world and tell them about Jesus Christ, who can change their lives and save them from these wicked sins. Oh yes, Brother Steve Moore, our pastor, goes over to Rob's ranch. And he's brought some of them here, and some of them have been saved. That's a link. I said, that's a link. Oh, can anyone say that Brother so-and-so or Sister so-and-so has been a link for me to come to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, we should be able to give that testimony. We should be able to tell others of this hope that lies within us. Somebody's going to ask you, why do you live like that? Why do you go to that little old church out there in the country? I drive about 25 miles each way. Maybe somebody here drives farther, I don't know. But I drive right at 25 miles each way, 50 miles every time I come. Why do you go down here? Well, we're trying to be a link. And I'm wanting our church to do better on getting out and inviting people to church. You know, the churches that I've pastored, they've grown some. And the way they've grown, Brother Eugene can tell you, I'd go out, knock on those doors. Oh, yes. Sometimes I'd get some very crude answers. Remember one man said, I don't know who that is knocking on my door, but if you don't quit knocking on my door, I'm going to be out there knocking on your head. I didn't stay around long. But I was trying to be a link. Are you a link? Are you doing anything for the Lord? Consider this little maid. She's only a slave. That's what she is. But oh, she gives her testimony in such a way that this man of God, this wicked man was willing to go to the man of God and get a cure for his leprosy. And the Bible said in Isaiah 29 and 18, for where there is no vision, people perish. We've got to get a vision, church. New Mission has got to get a vision of winning the lost to Jesus Christ. We've got many good things that must be commended. And I've commended you on those. But they must be commended. A lot of churches don't have that. But we need to do more than just have a good standard. We believe in that. But we need more than that. We need to be a link to a lost world. I remember going with my brother, Bill Rich, down on the streets of Tulsa. He was going down on Skid Row to preach. And I remember going down there with him. And he stops a car and pulls over to the side. And I said, what's wrong, Bill? And he starts sobbing, crying. He said, do you realize that nearly every man, woman, boy, and girl that goes down those streets are on their way to hell, and there's nobody out there telling them there's a different road to travel? He said, that's what we're doing down here. I'm going to step out there and preach here in a little bit. And I never will forget an old Indian that he won to the Lord that started coming to his church. The Indian didn't live long after that, an old Indian man. But he wrote a song, I'm one of them today. I love this narrow way. You know, when you can be a link to somebody. There is no greater joy. Oh, there's no greater joy than winning somebody to Jesus. The greatest thing that can happen in this church, yes, we love emotionalism. We love to shout. We love to run the aisles. And that's good. But Jesus did not come just so we could feel good and have goosebumps running up and down our back. He came to seek and to save that which is lost. And He sends us out into the world to be links to a lost and a dying world. Somebody say amen. Oh, let's don't be like Lot. He waited till he saw the judgment coming, and then he went to witness to his sons. He'd lived so close to the world himself. that his sons and his daughters had married sons of the Sodomites there. His testimony was too late. And they laughed and mocked him and made fun of him. Oh, let's make sure that we're doing something for the Lord. Sister Riches gave this testimony. I'll give a short part of it again. This year we was in that was last year, right? We was in a home of a boy that I used to pastor. And he had a woman in his house, which was not right. Yeah, just tell it like it is. Say, he's going to get this tape. You let him have it. He know he sat under me for quite a while. And he knows that's the way it is. It wasn't right. But this piano player, he asked Shirley to sing a song. And he sat down at the piano and Shirley started singing, "He Touched Me." And then she sang that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus." This woman was a Buddhist. Served foreign God, Buddha. And she heard this song and really, I didn't realize it at that time, but God was using Shirley to be a link to a woman that was lost and on her way to hell. Later on, she called for Shirley. Later on, she accepted Jesus. And right close to her dying hour, she took cancer and she died. And close to her dying hour, she said, "I reject every other God but Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He is my Lord. He's my Savior." That's what the Lord's wanting us to do. To be a link. To be a link. And like your job, wherever you're at, one fellow I heard about, back in California years ago, they used to have what they called timber camps, where men went and cut timber during the dry season. And they'd take men up there and feed them, and they'd cut these big old trees. And one woman and her son sent her son up there. He was a grown man. He come back, and we happened to know this family, and she asked him, said, "What did those folks think? What did those other men think when you told them that you was a Christian?" He said, "Nobody knew it. I never did tell them." Well, that's the way with most of us. He was very honest. But oh, listen, we got to tell the world that Jesus came to seek and to save that which is lost. I'll be closing here in just a few moments. But we're going to prepare hearts to accept Jesus by our testimony. That our word that we use, we need to learn the word of God. We need to read the word of God. And we need to learn the word of God to be able to give somebody the right answer. This world's looking for answers. Everywhere you turn, they're looking for answers. That's why all the loud music. That's why all the wild parties. That's why all the alcohol and dope and all of these things, all the perversion. They're looking for an answer, but they're still empty. But Jesus Christ, He satisfies the longing of the soul. Oh, I'll never forget a man and his wife, a woman that came into our church in Kansas City. I preached maybe 20 minutes that night, was still preaching, and this man came to the altar. And then this woman came to the altar. And she was so ill clad, they had to cover her up as she knelt at the altar. But that's all right. Somebody else wants to come like that, we'll cover them up here, won't we? And pray them through. Little did I know, whenever we was praying with these people, that someday they would be used in my church as leaders and as influences to others, to bring others to the Lord Jesus Christ. We never know who we're dealing with. Some of these guys that come in from Rob's Ranch. Now we know, like Brother Shaw said, "I thought you ruined everything that day." He said, "I took you to preach at this jail." And said, "You got up and told those men, said, I know you're not here in here for disturbing your Sunday school class. That's what I told them. First thing I said to those guys in jail. But when people started coming to pray, they changed his notion about what I'd said. But what I'm telling you, the world is lost. They're sinners. Don't expect them to be anything but sinners. That's what they are. They're sinners. And they can put on a pretty good show sometimes. But first thing you know, that whatever's inside of them comes out. Like Bruce said, his job had never heard him say anything bad, any bad words. Like these two truck drivers, I'll tell this and I'll try to close. These two truck drivers, one of them was a Christian and the other one, his last name is Blue. And they were driving a long distance truck and one guy cussed about every breath. And this one is a Christian truck driver. He tried to get him to give his heart to the Lord and become a Christian. He said, "Why should I be a Christian? What good would it do me?" And the man that's a Christian said, "It probably would change your vocabulary and you quit cussing so much." He said, "I can quit cussing anytime I want to quit cussing." He said, "No, you can't." He said, "Yes, I can. I'll show you." Went on a ways, how long, I don't know. They got in deep snow and had to stop and shovel and put some chains on the truck. And very cold. The man got back in and said, "See, I told you, I didn't cuss, did I?" And he said, "No, you didn't." Two or three other incidents happened. And he said, "I didn't cuss, did I?" And he said, "No, you didn't." But he said, one day up there when it was real cold, he was trying to get that steel door closed. And he slammed that door and it caught his thumb. His other truck driver, Brother Blue, said he made up for all the time he'd lost out on when he hit that thumb at that door. Well, if it's down there, it's going to come out. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Whatever's in there, it's going to come out. That's why we have to be very careful. This little maid, she used the right speech. Oh, yes. She had the right testimony that caused this Syrian man, who was a mighty man, but he was a leper. He was willing to go. And the man of God told him to go dip seven times in Jordan. At first, he wasn't willing to do that. He wanted to go to some fairer water. You know, a lot of people want to go to a bigger church or to a church that's more, higher in class, I guess we should say. But the answer was Jordan. No other river would do. Only Jordan. And the answer is still the cross. And there's no other way. No other way to salvation. Oh yes, my grandson, he started a charismatic church. And I love my grandson. I do. I love him. And I do a lot of things for him. And I went to hear him preach once. And he told me, he said, "Grandpa, I've only been going." He'd been going a little over a year then. He said, "I've already got 150. He had 200 something. And so here's what I told him. I said, "Well, Josh, the lower the fence, the more cattle can get in the field." Oh, yeah, he got the message. Oh, yes, but I love him. You understand that? And I'm going to treat him right, but I'm going to give him the true testimony that holiness is the right way. Oh, yes, there is no substitutes. There is no way out it. Without holiness, no man shall see the Lord. Stand with me, please. Thank you for your attention. How many wants to be a link? I mean, be a real link. Just, amen. Deborah, your testimony the other night, Wednesday night, inspired me to preach this message right here. I'm preaching today. You can be a link wherever you're at. On the job. Wherever. You can be a link. You ever been around somebody? And the first impression you had, hey, I believe they're a Christian. You know why? It's that spirit that was in them. And that's how we become a link. When people begin to inquire, what church you go to? What do they believe down there? Now, don't cut no corners. You don't have to be rude with them. So sometimes Brother Rich is pretty sharp. I know that. That's my makeup. But anyhow, you don't have to be rude with them. But you've got to tell them the truth. Here's what we believe here at this church. We believe in a separated life. We believe you've got to come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, And then I will receive you and I will be a father to you and you'll be my sons and daughters. If we will take this word and go out into this world, there's still somebody waiting for your testimony. Somebody's waiting to hear what you have to say. Say, nobody wants what I've got. If nobody wants what you've got, say, evident fact, you've got the wrong thing. Somebody will want it. I want you to come with me today and let's pray. Let's seek the Lord. Thank you for your attention. We've got plenty of time to pray. And look at the clock if you want to. It's about 7 minutes to 12. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, I want to be a link like that little maid. Oh, that was carried captive into Syria. Oh, that witness to that great man Naaman. I want to be a witness. I want to be a link that will link this world, oh, to Jesus Christ. Thank you for the souls you've helped me to win in other countries and here also. But Lord, I have not done enough. I need to do more for you, Jesus. Our church needs to be a growing church. We need to be winning souls. We need to be out there doing something for the kingdom of God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. My Lord, I praise you for victory. Oh, and the power to witness to a lost and dying world. Lord, you said, go ye into all the world. Oh, every area, every job site, oh, every place our feet would take us. We need to let our light shine, oh, out in this darkened world. Oh, God, touch hearts, touch souls, touch lives. Minister to the needs of the people. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, God, give each of us a desire to do more than we've did in the past. Lord, when I look back over my past, I see some opportunities I've let slip through my fingers. Opportunities to reach souls, to bring lost humanity to you. Oh, God, touch hearts, touch souls, touch lives. Minister to every need. Oh, God, I pray. Lord, take our young people and our older people as well. Take us forward into the harvest field. For Lord, you said, lift up your eyes, look on the fields, for they're white already to harvest. Oh, say ye not 4 months, then cometh the harvest. Those fields are already white, ready to harvest. Lord, help us to lift up our eyes and look out to a lost world. Lord, we believe you're coming soon, and most of this world will be lost. Oh, Lord, somebody I could be a link to. Somebody I could tell about Jesus. Somebody I could bring to the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God. My neighbors, everyone around us claim to be saved. But, Lord, we know there's a right and a wrong way. Lord, help us to reach the lost. Help us to point them to Calvary. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Lord, I want to let my light shine out. Oh, God, you said in your word, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. God, let us let our light shine out. Bring glory to the kingdom of God. Bring strength, Lord, to the body of Christ. Strengthen this body of believers with all of our good points. We're lacking, Lord, in that one thing there. Let us go forth and do more than we've did in the past. Lord, this new year, 2013, we need to be a witness and a testimony to each and every one. Oh, God, that we come in contact with. My Lord, my Lord, my Lord, my Lord. Oh, God. Oh, God. Lord, help us to have a ministry. Oh, if nothing else, but just on a one-to-one basis. Lord, to have a ministry that reaches out and touches souls. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, I praise you. Jesus, I love you. I magnify and glorify your wonderful name. You're worthy of all of my praise. You're worthy of all the honor that I could give you today. Lord, bless and strengthen us. Have your way, Lord. Have your way. Bring someone out tonight, Lord, to the service that needs you. Oh, God, and help us to see a lost soul come to Jesus Christ. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, God. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, Lord. By your Spirit, Jesus. Oh, God. Oh, God. Oh, more of your strength, more of your grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. 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 Oh. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, we're still here in front.